Again, this is Brother Jackson continuing with the book of Acts, Acts chapter 15. Brother Kosa did three presentations that were connected with the book of Acts chapter 15 and some other thoughts that he wanted to share along that line. And I'm so grateful for Brother Kosa for doing that, and looking forward to many more teachings from him and from others. The more that Elohim sends us, the better. And I say the more that Elohim sends us. Amen. All right, so I'll try to be brief with the overview, because it's been several weeks since we touched on this. Is in Acts chapter 15, we saw how there were unauthorized Judean believers. They were believers, but they were not from the congregation of Elohim. And we talked of what that meant. And I'm not going to go over it, but it's in the recordings that are on our website, and everyone could listen to it. So these were, they believed, but they were not part of the congregation, and they were being directed by the adversary to infiltrate and teaching that unless that the Gentiles were circumcised and lived according to Moses, they could not be saved, as we saw in verse 1. Then in verse 5, it says, some believers who belong to the party of the Pharisees rose up and says, it is necessary to circumcise them, meaning the Gentiles, and to order them to keep the law of Moses. And through all of this, we went through the law. We looked through the first covenant scriptures to see what that meant. And we understand that the law of Moses is the administration of death. And we saw that what exactly that meant when Paul says it is the administration of death, that it is the control of death. It is to minimize death, because the world at that time of scripture was very corrupt and evil and brutal. Brutal. That's how the world was back then, and people don't understand that. So Elohim, in his loving kindness through Moses, gave that administration of death to minimize death, to control death. That's why he says, an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth. It sounds harsh, because we're here in societies many, many years later that were affected by the teachings of Messiah, that has made us more sensitive and more kind. But back then, an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth, because if you took someone's eye out, they were not going to try to take your eye out. They were going to try to kill you. But Elohim, through his grace, says, nope, don't do more than what he or she has done to you. And also, vengeance is not yours. Vengeance is his, and it's to be done through the judges. So it was not a wild, quote-unquote, West or wild Middle East, to be funny here, situation where people are just, oh, you took out my eyes, I'm going to take out your eyes. No, it was done through the administration of the judges. So there was order. And through Moses, Elohim established civility in Israel, and which spread throughout the world. And when we know the teachings of the ancients, like one of the ancients I will read today, won't cover that part. But the ancients teach us that the teachings of Moses went throughout all the world, making the world more civil. Okay? So that's what the teaching of Moses did. The administration of death, people think is a bad thing. No, it means the administration. You control it, because it was so rampant and brutal throughout the world. You just got to read history. You'll see it yourself. So through Moses, the world had a schoolmaster that calmed it down, that taught it to be more understanding. And when the time was right, he sent his son to bring in what? The administration of life. So now it's no longer about trying to control death, but it's trying. But now it's to promote life, and promoting life abundantly, and promoting through and causing life to be everlasting through Messiah Yeshua. That's the difference. But a lot of people don't understand it, because they get stuck in their flesh and they don't want to hear what Elohim is saying throughout the scriptures. We are not to get stuck in the forest. If we want to come out and know the truth, we need to rise above, take a full view, so we could understand what it is we're looking at, because that's how the scriptures are written. The scriptures are written so that those who want the truth will understand the truth, will seek the truth, because that's what their heart desires. But those who are seeking, who are self-seeking and after their own personal private interests, they will be led astray. Elohim has set, as I've said many times, the world in the world, slippery places in nature, in the scriptures, so that anyone who is false will be caught in it. That's why even the gospel is like a two-edged sword. Okay, even the gospel is like had two sides. It is life for those who are righteous, who want to do right, but it is condemnation and death to those who want to do evil. Elohim has always said it like that. That's why even through Moses, I set before you life and death. And he says, choose life. So first Moses, the administration of death, to control and as a schoolmaster, to train the world to be less violent and cruel and more reasonable. And Messiah, he came to give life and life abundantly. He didn't replace, so to say, Moses' instructions, because he's the one who gave the instructions through Moses, because he wanted to establish some level of decency in the world until the time was right for his son to come, until it was time for him to come. And when he came to give life. And that's why his administration is that of life. So let's continue where we left off a little bit. So, and then we found that what the disciples did. They came together, they gave testimony about what they've done. They gave testimony about how Elohim directed them to interact with the Gentiles. And finally, the administrator or the bishop of the congregation in Judea, Jacob or James, summarized everything and said, this is what we're going to do by the Spirit. All these things were being done by the Spirit, not by anything else, as we saw. So, and James said, let us do this. And what it was to write a letter giving them specific things that you could read for yourself, as we've done that before. They read the letter and to send it by trustworthy men. And the things that they included, a few things were necessary to keep the peace between the physical Hebrews and the physical nations. Those were of the nations. It says in verse 20, but therefore my judgment is, that's James, Jacob, the administrator or bishop of the congregation in Judea, said in verse 19, therefore my judgment is that we should not trouble those among the nations who turn to Elohim, who make teshuvah, who turn to Elohim, but should write to them to abstain from the things polluted by idols and from sexual immorality and from what has been strangled and from blood. These are principal physical things that they must do. If you notice, for their corporal cleanliness and social behavior. Why do we judge that this is what we as apostles need to tell the nations? Because from ancient generations, Moses has had in every city those who proclaim him, because he is read every Sabbath in the synagogue. So, in other words, the Gentiles will learn about Moses through the teachings that are expounded throughout the synagogues. And as we've seen since from early on in the book of Acts, everywhere the apostles went, where did they go first? Into a synagogue, no matter where they went. So there were synagogues everywhere. And as a matter of fact, that's why to some degree, the world at the before Messiah came was more calm because of the effects of the Hebraic teachings. That's not right. It's not right. They're not Hebraic teachings. They're Elohim's teachings, right? That's the truth. Because the Hebrews, if it were up to them, they would be offering to their idols and all such sorts of things, as clearly stated through the law and the prophets. That's where their heart were, and that's why Elohim cast them out of the land. It's not a matter of Hebrew minds or Hebrew thinking. It's a matter of the mind of Messiah and thinking like, by the Spirit of Elohim, like Elohim. All right, so let's continue. Verse 22. Then it seemed good to the apostles and the elders with the whole congregation to choose men from among them and send them to Antioch with Paul and Barnabas. They sent Judas, called Barsabas, and Silas, leading men among the brethren. Not just any men, but leading men. We kind of read this before, so that's why I'm rushing through it. So they sent these men to do what? With the following letter. The brothers, both the apostles and the elders, to the brothers who are of the nations, who are of the Gentiles, who are in Antioch and Syria and Cilicia, greetings. Again, greetings. Respect, honor, kindness. Since we have heard that some persons have gone out from us and troubled you with words unsettling your minds, although we gave them no instructions, it's unsettling your minds. You see, When the truth comes, it doesn't unsettle your mind. That's one thing I've experienced myself. And that's one thing the scripture says, is the things that are from above, from Elohim, are peace, are first, peaceful. They're not unsettling. No. They're not unsettling to those who are being saved. If you hear something and it's unsettling, and you are a servant of Elohim, then chances are it's not from Elohim. Because it said, tell you, it's first, peaceable. But here, these things were unsettling because the Elohim gave us, as I've said many times, a locus, a center of truth that he planted in each person so that they can discern truth and not have an excuse. That's why it says some suppress the truth. Why are they suppressed? Because they know what it is and they don't want it. Showing you everyone can discern the truth. Discerning the truth doesn't mean a person will accept the truth. The righteous will accept the truth. But the unrighteous and the wicked will not accept the truth. But all of, he has granted all a means of understanding the truth, recognizing it. So troubling you with words, unsettling your minds, although we gave them no instruction, so they were not authorized to do this at all. And today in our generations, we have many who are going out teaching all sorts of perversity, all sorts of imaginations of their own minds, of their own lust, of their own desires, as if it were doctrine. But no. And as I've always said, brethren, in the past, you never should follow a person until you... I mean, when I say follow, listen and take to heart, take seriously anything anyone says, unless you know by Messiah who that person is, by Elohim who that person is. We don't just follow people and just listen and are instructed just by him. Have they repented of their sins? Our sister read portions from 1 Yochanan, 1 John, concerning the repentance of sins and how we are, if we serve Elohim and Messiah, we are to depart from sin. We are to repent of our sins. We have all sinned, but we must all repent of our sins. We cannot continue in that former conversation or former way of life. We must all repent of all sins. We must all overcome our sins. Otherwise, we have no business mentioning his name, his words to anyone if we ourselves have not repented of our sins. That doesn't make any sense. It's the greatest hypocrisy there is. That's why our sovereign Yeshua says, cast the beam out of your own eye before you worry about what's in the other person's eye. Before you tell somebody else to do what's right, make sure you're doing what's right. There's no escaping this. So that's why we must all turn from sin. And so whatever comes out of our mouths will be from Elohim. Because Elohim will not enter our hearts and minds to dwell and to proceed from us if we're unclean. Again, that's what, as I've said, the temple and the Mishkan, the time was all about. His presence was there and it had to be clean. And once every year in the seventh month, in this 10th of the seventh month, the month Ethanim, the priest in the ancient times had to go and cleanse, make offerings for himself, sanctify the tabernacle, sanctify the people, sanctify the whole thing so that Elohim's presence could be there. So the words from Elohim are always first peaceable to the righteous. We may wonder, we may say, manna, what is it? But when it comes, it's always peaceful. It even tickles us in our minds. It's like, can it be? It sounds so wonderful. Can it be? That's how Elohim's word is not unsettling. So in verse 25, it has seemed good to us, having come to one accord, to choose men and send them to you with our beloved Barnabas and Paul, men who have risked their lives for the sake of our sovereign, for absolute ruler, Yeshua Messiah, the anointed one, the elect. So it seemed good to us. It seems good. How good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell in unity. So we have come in one accord. How good and how pleasant for brothers and brethren, that's male and female, to come together in unity. So it seemed good to them, good to all of us. How? By the Spirit, not by their own minds, not by what they have read, but what the Spirit has put in their minds concerning these things. And they gave them instruction. They gave them Torah. They gave them instructions. That's what Torah means, right? Instructions. To one accord, to choose men and send them to you with our beloved Barnabas, Who? What type of men were these? Were these just casual men? Oh, can you come here, please? I just want... No, these men that live. They risk their lives. They live for Elohim, for Elohim's sake in Messiah Yeshua. So we have sent, therefore, Judas and Silas, who themselves will tell you the same things by word of mouth. Verse 28, for it has seemed good to the Holy Spirit, to the set apart, to the sanctified Spirit, and to us. Remember, it says it is good to us. That's why I said the things I'm saying are not, I'm not making them up. See, the scriptures say it. Remember, they said it was good to them in verse 25. I said, not by their own minds, not by what they have read, but it's by the Spirit. Because they explain, for it has been seen good to the Holy Spirit, to the Ruach HaKodesh, and to us, to lay on you no greater burden than these requirements. That you abstain from what has been sacrificed to idols, and from blood, and from what has been strangled, and from sexual immorality, fornication. If you keep yourselves from these, you will do well. Farewell. So that's the letter. So let's move on. Okay, and our brother Akosa touched on these a little bit too in his teachings the past few Sabbaths. So you see how the approach, how patient and how Elohim is with the newcomers from the Gentiles? He's not imposing on them, okay? There's nothing that says, oh, you must do this, you must, because they're learning. Because Elohim is more concerned about their hearts, their willingness to receive the word. There's a portion that I was reading, I don't remember where, but where it speaks about the word being given to them in pieces. I covered that in one of my teachings during the holy days, that it was in pieces. The Torah is distributed in bits and bits here, but in Messiah, it's in fullness, right? But Messiah teaches it to them in fullness. It's not for men to do that, because Elohim knows everyone's ability, okay, to learn and to absorb. So we should be patient with all. Some can learn something, some new concept or something real quick, while another learns it a lot slower. And the one who learns it a lot more slowly can have much more behavior and discernment from the one who learns quickly. So it doesn't mean the one who learns quickly is better than the one who learns more slowly. Elohim knows how to balance them all so that no one has more than the other who are his. No one has more than the other who are his. For there's nothing that we have earned by our own merits. And so he gives all a measure of faith according to his good pleasure. He gives all a matter of grace, a measure of endowment, according to his good pleasure. Thank you, Father. So it seems good by the Spirit. He says, if you stay from these things, you will do well. We touched about the sacrifice to idols in former teaching, so I won't go there what that's all about. Let me try to finish in verse 35. So when they were sent off, so let me go back here in verse 9, that you abstain from what has been sacrificed to idols and from blood and from what has been strangled and from sexual immorality. If you keep yourselves from these, you will do well. If you don't keep yourselves from these, you will not do well. These are covenant things. When you look through the general books of Moses, that's in the Common Bible, and the teaching of Moses recorded in Jubilees, we know how blood is not to be consumed. We even see it in the New Covenant scriptures here. It is not to be consumed. And this is why I, as a brother, being a vegetarian, I'm not necessarily encouraging anyone to be vegetarian, although it's a good thing. But if you're going to eat meat, make sure that you're not letting your appetite drive you to be careless about this. Read the Torah. Read the instructions of Elohim concerning. He says, blood must not be consumed. Spare yourselves from trouble. Don't let your appetite make you run to Donald's, because those things are not drained of the blood properly. There is no bending in this, in the words of Elohim. That's why it's repeated here, even in New Covenant scriptures. Okay, there's no bending, and it says so in the Torah. It says so in the general books and in the books of Jubilee. It's not to be consumed. And it is, blood is to be handled in a special way. If it's at all within your control, you do not let blood, spill blood, go on any other thing other than the ground. I know today we live in an environment that makes that very hard to do. But as much as is possible, if you handle blood, get it into the ground. as much as possible. I know that that's a hard one, and Elohim understands our inabilities and limitations concerning things. But we could all control what we eat, and we must be very careful about that. Sexual immorality, as Shliach Paul, the Apostle Paul, says elsewhere, let it not be once mentioned among the congregation of Elohim. There's no room for that. Anyone who's involved in practicing fornication is not a part of the congregation of Elohim. Simply not. Cannot be. Elohim does not recognize that. Okay? Elohim has his registry of life until the person repents of fornication. And no. We could keep Sabbath and all. None of that is acceptable to Elohim. We must be pure of these things. So, verse 30. So when they were sent off, they went down to Antioch, and having gathered the congregation together, they delivered the letter. Okay, so now all this has been explained. So now the brethren that they sent, Paul, Barnabas, Silas, and Judas, and whoever else is with them, they went. They went to fulfill that mission. Let me read it, and I'll explain what Elohim allows me to say. And when they had read it, they rejoice. Whoa. Wait, where's the unsettling? Where's the unsettling? Is it not written that the word of Elohim, when it's received, it gives peace? I've heard some people say things like, oh, nobody receives me. And they don't understand. It's because they're not speaking the words of Elohim. They're speaking their own words. And they think they're speaking the words of Elohim. When you speak the words of Elohim, the righteous receive it. That's absolute. It's always like that. Always like that. When we see too many people, righteous, loving people, are being unsettled by what we say, what we do, then we need that. That's a checkup. We need to take a step back and say, Elohim, am I doing this your way? Or am I doing it my way? Or forbid, even worse, the adversary's way. We will see some of that later on as we read the book, as we continue this journey in the book of Acts. So let's continue. So when they read it, they rejoice because of its encouragement. Words of Elohim does not bring others down. It never does. You notice Yeshua handled, he's from above. And he never dealt harshly with his learning ones, with his Talmidim, with his disciples. He was also always gentle with them. He only spoke with them when they knew they should know better. But he was always gentle. My yoke is easy and my burden light. Right? He says, my yoke is easy and my burden light. Peace for your soul you shall find, as a song says. Drink from the fountain that will never run dry. Rest your soul in its overflow, in its flow. Rest your soul in its flow. They were encouraged. And Judas and Silas, who were themselves Navi'im, they were prophets, they were seers, encouraged and strengthened the brothers with many words. Where's the tearing down? Where are the accusations? None. So I know there are times I did not function like this. And thanks to Elohim, I believe I can say much of that is in my past. And none of us are perfect in any works that we do, but he causes us to excel and get better and better. So I know I'm getting better and better. But I know there are times that I meant to do well, but instead I say things in such a way unintentionally. Instead of encouraging, I'm discouraging. Instead of making light, I'm creating confusion. But thanks to Elohim, that doesn't exist anymore. Okay? For they were, who were prophets, Navi'im. Now today, we have all sorts of people trying to correct the scriptures, trying to do this, trying to do that. And I've been gone through the various forms of expressions of the faith. Most of them false. Now, thanks to Elohim, the truth. But I've been in Catholic circles. I've been through Baptist circles. I've been through Adventist circles. I've been to Church of God circles, Protestants, or you name it. And I've seen them, especially the Hebrew Roots movement. Not all. Some of the Hebrew Roots movement people are doing just fine. But there are some that are making a mockery of the word of Elohim by their attempts to redefine the scriptures by their own limited understanding of things. And they don't understand. That's not their job to correct the scriptures. No matter how much Hebrew a person knows, or Greek, whatever, it's not our job. Everyone is given a job to do. Moses was given the office judge and instructor and you could say, bishop and pastor for the ancient congregation of Elohim during the time of the first covenant. He did not get himself involved in the office of Aaron, even though he was the one sanctified, that Elohim used to sanctify the whole tabernacle and the ark and everything. He's the one who sanctified Aaron and his sons. Yet he himself, once that was done, it was not his office. It was Aaron's and Aaron's generation. And through Moses, Elohim established judges. And once that was established, it was their office. There are things they were responsible for, Moses didn't do. Moses is now responsible for only the main things. We see here among the apostles, depending on their role, they had specific. The role of correcting scripture is for the prophets only. It's not for scribes. Scribes write down what the prophet says through Elohim. And a prophet must be proved. A prophet must show. You must test a prophet according to the teachings, to the instruction of Elohim in Devarim, the book of Deuteronomy. If a prophet again comes to you and says something and it does not come to pass, pay no heed to that person. If a prophet comes to you and says something, it comes to pass, but he teaches you to turn away from Elohim or to disobey him anyway, you know you are being tested. You are not to listen to that prophet. So there are many who say claiming to be prophets, yet they're living sinful lives. They have not even repented of their sins, which is the basic fundamental level of anyone who is in the congregation of Elohim. You must have repented of your sins. Pray to be functional in the congregation of Elohim. You can't live in any type of sins, but you have these people that are calling themselves pastors, so on. They've been divorced. They have more than one wife. Whatever their situation may be, that's inappropriate, unacceptable to Elohim. And yet many of these people are the ones trying to correct the scriptures. And what they're doing in effect is corrupting the scriptures, thinking they know more than Elohim, who saw fit to have the scriptures written over the generations and generations. Elohim is in charge. He saw fit to have the scriptures preserved for us in multiple languages. Were it not for that, we could not understand a thing. And especially in Greek. As a matter of fact, I was speaking with my sister, my daughter, and I was saying, do we realize how Elohim has done what Elohim has done? That Elohim saw fit to have the scriptures written widely in Greek, hardly any found in Hebrew. People don't understand that. Many of the Torah scrolls were written in Aramaic and Arabic because Elohim knows the nature of man, the carnal nature of man, to gravitate pridefully to things of the flesh. They forget that Elohim says, I will enlarge Japheth. Japheth are the bulk of the nations, and he will dwell in the tents of Shem. But he will enlarge Japheth. That's a blessing. And Ham will dwell, will serve among them. So he says. So the scriptures are to be corrected and handled only by the prophets. Because everyone, you're going to have a book now full of different expressions, full of different renderings, confusion, and division. Elohim will send his prophet to do these things when the time is right. Or it may just be we need to wait for Messiah to return. But we don't touch the scriptures. And this is for everyone to decide on their own. But I know that we are not to touch this, that these things are given to the prophets only to do. If that's why Elohim himself said, beware of the lying pen of the scribes. When? When the Catholic? No, this was way before Catholicism didn't even exist. He said to Jeremiah, beware of the lying pens of the scribe. Why? Because look at the context. He says, you say we have the Torah. You say you have this. He says, beware of the lying pens of the scribe. Because he knows. He has the scriptures written in such a way, like it's a double-edged sword in many, many ways. For those who are self-deceiving, they will be deceived by the very word they're mishandling. But for all who are learning, want to learn the truth, the Spirit gives them the discernment to see what part of the Old Covenant Scriptures is Elohim's instructions and what part of it is the lying pen of the scribes. And as I've mentioned, yet he has given no prophet the authority to show what parts were the lying pens of the scribe. The scribes were to write it was to be written exactly as his Spirit directed the people to write it, so that it could be a snare to the unrighteous and a blessing to those who want to do truth. Verse 32, And Judas and Silas, who were themselves prophets, encouraged and strengthened the brothers with many words. Verse 33. And after they had spent some time, they were sent off in shalom, in peace, in perfect rest by the brothers to those who sent them. So what that means is that they accompanied. They didn't just send them off. They accompanied them. That's what's kind of implied there. But Paul and Barnabas remained in Antioch, teaching and preaching the word of the absolute ruler, the Kurios, the Adonai, the sovereign, with many others also. So they didn't stay. So there were many others, catch that, with many others also. So that means their company, the congregation, was growing by the works of the apostles. I will stop here and we'll take any comments or observations that a person may have. Thank you.